There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Well, look, this morning I just have one sentence for you from Scripture. And it is a sentence that we all need. And it are words which you will not find anywhere else in the world. You will never hear these words spoken on the floors of Parliament. You will never hear these words spoken in any court of law throughout the world. Do you know, you'll never hear these words in any Roman Catholic Church or Eastern Orthodox Church. Do you know, you'll never hear these words from any counsellor that you go to and you pay you good money and they sit and they listen in their non-judgmental, unaffirming way, or perhaps affirming you in the little places and the things that you want to do. But you will never hear these words, the words that your soul desperately needs to hear this day. You'll only ever hear them wherever the gospel is truly preached. And these are the words, just that first line. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And every one of us, you know, needs to hear those words. Because every one of us carries the regrets of life, the mistakes that we've made, the things that we would like to change, the words that have been spoken to us and the words that we have spoken. And no matter how many times we retell the story in our minds and we tell the tale, we know in our hearts we're wrong. And no matter how many times we justify ourselves, there are these words that we need to hear. There are those in prison today, and they know what it is to be condemned, to be under sentence, to be under punishment. Can you imagine what it must be like to be a chaplain in a prison today and to say those words in any prison in this land? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then also, you know, we still need these words, because I don't care how tolerant a society we become. Doesn't matter how we may have changed the laws on certain things. Let me assure you this day that in a society and in a community, people still feel condemned. Condemned. And I remember many years ago taking a funeral in this town. And I assure you, although we may be now more tolerant than before, but in that funeral there was myself, the bearers, and the one who was deceased. And he lived in this town, was part of this town. But you see, the whole town had shunned and condemned. Do you know, every one of us knows the need of these words. Because every one of us is made in the image of God. And you've been made in his likeness. And the Bible says there's actually a candle which is in us, which is our conscience, which tells us what is right and tells us what is wrong. And you know that little candle, you can't seem to put it out. And no matter how many times we may justify ourselves and tell us that what we've done or what we're doing is right, and no matter what we say that other people affirm what we're doing is right, and no matter how many other people may be involved, the reality is we have a conscience. And you know, we need to hear these words. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know those words which I just said to you? They're not my words. They're words, you see, which are of God. They're God's words. They're found in this book. They're not words which are built on fable, not words which are fiction, not words which are built on feeling. These words are built. They're built on fact. And they're actually found here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And what you find is this, is that the book of Romans is Paul's letter to the church at Rome, which is dealing with the historical fact of what God has done in this world in Jesus Christ. It begins there in chapter 1 in verse 2, for which he promised through the prophets in his holy scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, he's telling them, when he speaks these words, what he does is this. He then unfolds to them, explains to them the great news, the good news, what it means this day. You'll only find these words because of Jesus Christ. The very fact that he came according to the promise. He rose again from the dead. And he tells us in verse 15, he wants to come to them. And he wants to preach to them, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you which are at Rome also. And Paul wants to explain, do you know that gospel? That good news today. That good news today hasn't just simply got something to do with your health in your body and the wealth in your bank account. And that good news hasn't got something simply to do with the dreams that you've got and the life which you want to live. This is the real good news, which comes from God. And it's got to do, you see, which affects us in the most profound way. And what he does, he begins to explain it. And you can read those chapters, how he tells us the wrath of God is now being revealed against all ungodliness. And that he tells us both the Jew and both the Gentile, the religious and the irreligious. And we're all condemned before God. And every one of us is guilty before the law. He tells us the great truths of where we all are before God. We live in a world that lives under condemnation. Oh, but you've got this great news, haven't you? Found there in verse then 21 of chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. But now, you see, because Jesus Christ and the grace of God, we can know today Although everyone's fallen short of his glory, yet God sent him forth on that cross of Calvary. And you can know what it is, that what he's done, and that he has died in our place, and a propitiation for our sins. And then he tells them what it means for them. The gospel for the Christian. In chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. And he tells them there again, does he not? In verse then 9. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we've been saved from the wrath through him. And then he tells us, as he explains to us this wonderful news, the gospel, of what happens in our lives. And he uses this word. He only uses it. It's only used about twice or three times in Scripture. This special word, when it deals with that condemnation. I'll read it to you. It's found here in verse 16 of chapter 5. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, Adam. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. I know these are big words, but he's simply telling us, whether you like it or not, whether you're good or you're bad, whether you're right or you're wrong, we're all under the condemnation because Adam fell and we've all been judged within him. But now, you see, he tells us this news of what it is then to be a Christian. And then he comes, does he not, to chapter 7. And this is how he describes himself. And this is perhaps how you feel even this morning. You need to hear these words. Verse 24. Just because he's the apostle, just because he knows what it is to be justified in God's sight, he cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And that's what happens when you become a Christian. I can promise you this, that God will change your life when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know what it is that your life will be better. You can know what it is that it will be sanctified. You know what it is that it will improve, but you'll also know what it is. You'll know yourself better than you knew yourself before. And when you come to have light which shines upon you, you see your sins, you know your failings, you feel it more than ever before. And the Apostle Paul can say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, and even our righteousness is as filthy rags, and the things that we do, we can never seem to be right." And this is how Mr. Spurgeon puts it. Mr. Spurgeon was a great preacher and a great man. And he says, "I tell you what kind of Christian I am. I'm a Romans 7 Christian. I am a Romans 7 man." And although he was a great man, yet he knew what it was to be a wretched man. He says, that confirms what I really am like. But I'll tell you this. I'm also a Romans 8 man. I'm both. I'm the both together. I know what it is to feel my sin. And I know what it is that there is now, therefore now, no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus. Great words, aren't they? They're the words, I assure you, of the gospel this day. It's found there in verse 18 of chapter 3 of God's word, 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those words, would you explain them to you? There is now therefore no condemnation. Be very careful how this then is said. It does not say there is no condemnation, but what it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Because we're not preaching to you any fiction. We're not preaching to you any fibs or any lies. We're not coming to preach to you some kind of quasi-psychological mind kind of bending change. When the reality is condemnation is found throughout the world. Throughout the world. We live in a world which is under condemnation. And no matter how you say it, how you read it, There are people this day where things are still condemned in this nation. You murder someone and no one's going to say, that's fine. No one's going to say to you, that's fair enough. I've got a murdering gene within me. You've got a thief and you take some money, I assure you it will be sentenced and be judged, and people will say, there is a sentence, there is a judgment, there's a condemnation, which is then within us. And that falls for the whole of society. Do you know that in this world today, there are those primitive tribes which are still Stone Age. And I assure you that in those tribes, there are those things which are right and which are wrong, and there will be those which will be shunned from their society. They will be those who will be condemned for something that they've done. There is condemnation found in every society in this world. You've got to know what it really says. And you know this book? This book tells you. It says to us this day, there's definitely condemnation. There is definitely punishment, definitely judgment. This book tells you as it really, really is. It tells you, does it not, about sin? And it tells you of the judgment then, which is then to come. Now look, in this world in which you live, God is active. It begins in chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. Have you not read history? Do you not realize that the wicked are punished? Do you not realize that dictators do fall? Do you realize that bad does not triumph? Can you not see it? Do you not know it? That there is that which takes place in this world as it will in the next world? Do you not know that there is then this day the reality of it? You know it in your own heart. In your own heart. If I were to say to you, now there is now therefore no condemnation, the very reality that we know in our experience as human beings, the Bible tells us, if your heart condemns you, because our heart really can. And when you come here this morning, I know you think, wow, you know, well, what should we be talking about? Isn't there real needs in the world out there? I mean, shouldn't we be really pointing the finger at the war in the Sudan and Putin, the Kremlin? And don't you know that there are certain things that are happening in our society which we need to deal with, like poverty and heating and having food on the table? And you know, the church goes down this line. This church believes that it's got to answer to all these needs. But I assure you today, your great need, you see, is not what's out there. Your great need is what's in here. And the great things that trouble you is not Putin on his little throne in the Kremlin. It's not the war in the Sudan. It's not even your children or your marriage or your health. Do you know what it really is? It's what's in you, in your heart. What you're feeling, what you're thinking, of your guilt and of your shame and of the wrongness and the burdens that you carry. And you can't shift it off. Life would be so much better, so much different, if you only knew this one and great truth. And you'll find it nowhere else but the gospel. Go to the local supermarket, and there are many people who are simply drinking just to drown the burden and the guilt. That's just a fact. Some lives, I have mentioned it before, are better drunk than better sober. But such is the pain of the emotions and the memories that they have. You go to the doctors and you go to the pharmacist. I assure you, do you know there is not a pill that they can give you? If only they could give you the forgiveness pill, the pill where you knew that you were accepted and forgiven. But there's no pill on the market that can give you this. And on every way that we live our lives, in the very deeds that we do, in our good works to cover up, we still can't cover the conscience that we feel in ourselves condemned. It's real. This book is real. It really does exist. And let me assure you today, someone says to you, ah, but look. Look at the Lord Jesus. Be very careful. When you read of the Lord Jesus, now he's the one, you see, who does not condemn. I know what Christianity is all about. Christianity is the gospel which doesn't condemn. Well, you're going to have to read it really carefully. Now, when Jesus was on this earth, sinners came to Jesus. Sinners came to Jesus because there is mercy and grace and loving kindness and tenderness which is found in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You have the wonderful example, do you not, of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, with a woman which was caught in adultery. And they come and they say, you know what the law says. And then Jesus says that he, without sin, cast the first stone. And they all put their stones down from the eldest to the youngest. And then Jesus says to the woman, who's here to condemn you? You go, says that to her, and you sin no more. And the Lord Jesus, you see, when he came into this world, he did, you know, he condemned hypocrisy. He condemned self-righteousness. The Lord Jesus preached and warned the people about their religion and what they're doing, their empty words, their outward form, not of the heart. The Lord Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, woe is you. You now who come and you say these things, you stand in places such as this, you're going to be for the greater judgment. Jesus said that. These are the words. Listen to these words. And in some Bibles, these words are in red. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember what I said? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what it says in verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Here's the words. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you say, what's that? And you say, do you know the problem with that Bible? It's just too confusing. The problem with it, I just can never get my head round it. But let me tell you, it's not the big words. It's the little words that you really need to grasp. And you know, in this very verse, just two little things and two words for you to go out with this morning. It's the word no and the word in. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That what you find this day, that you see there is the no of the fact that those who have come to Jesus Christ know of no condemnation. And the foundation of it, because they are now in Christ Jesus. Jesus came into this world not to condemn the world, but to save the world and call people to himself, that when they came to him, they knew what it was to be saved and no longer under that condemnation. Let me explain to you. People say, I don't understand it. The big words, propitiation. The big words, justification. Well, of course you don't understand it. I never understood it. takes a lot of reading and the experience of Jesus Christ. But you understand this word, don't you? No. No. Didn't your parents ever say to you, no? Didn't they ever say to you, my no means yes? No, they said, my no means no. And this is God's word. There is now that word from Jesus Christ for all that he's done. There is now no, and the condemnation which is spoken of, which is now, which will be always, never then to enter into, is the special word where it speaks of the sentencing and the punishment which God does give to those who are not in Christ Jesus. And it speaks of the fact that in your life, when you come to Jesus Christ, you no longer stand in that place of sentence. You will never come under its punishment. You will never receive its consequences. You'll never know its effects. It's no. It's no in every dimension. It's no now, and it's no on that day. It's no in your experience here, and it's no then. It is the most positive negative that could ever be. That is for all your sin. Whatever it may be, and whatever you have done, there is the no. And the reason simply is because of this. Because of the gospel of what Jesus Christ has done. And he unfolds it. I know in this sense, because on that cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took the sentence, took the punishment, became the condemnation, that on that tree of Calvary, he cried out and said, it's finished, it's paid for, it's dealt with, he's borne it, he's carried it away. And in that very place where he stood, and what he does is that on that very fact, that in your life now, what it means to know the consequences of sin, which is separation from God, you never experience. He will never be separated from you, ever. From the moment you come to him, to eternity. Now there are some of you, perhaps, which are not Christians here this day, and you can say, I don't agree, I don't like, I don't want, but you do know this in your heart. God is very far away from you, and you feel him. Far, far away. You don't know how to come to him, how to have contact with him, how to even know him in an intimate experience. You come to Jesus Christ today, and I assure you, there is no condemnation of the sentence and of the judgment and the effects which that means in one's life. Now, you may be a Christian, and you may be doing some very bad things, and you're living in a way which is just simply not right. But you know what God does? He says, these are my children. He says, I love them. I don't love what they're doing, but I do love my children. But he will, you know, he will chastise you. He will discipline you. He will bring you to your senses. He will draw you. But I assure you this, you may not be able to feel perhaps his close presence with you, but there'll be never a time that you've now come from this place where you're in no condemnation to another place that you're now condemned. The no is absolute, and it's built on that fact of what Jesus Christ has done. But listen, it's for those which are in Christ Jesus. It's those now who have come to him at a certain point, in a certain moment, Jesus has dealt with our sin at Calvary. But in your experience and in our lives, there has to be the moment where we put our faith in him. In him. And what happens in the book of Romans is that, you see, Paul then explains to them what it is to have faith in Jesus. Is that you have been united with him. You have come to him. You do it by faith. It's not by your good works. It's by, you see, that just believing and trusting. And as he tells us, you've been buried with him in baptism. You've died with him. You've now rising with him. You are in Christ. And when you come and you say, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe he died for my sins. I put my life into him. You know what it is that you're in Christ. As you've walked into this building today, you're now in this building. You come by faith into Christ, part of his body. You are joined with him at a certain moment and a certain time. And because of that, you see, the sentence has been taken. The judgment has been met. You are in him. You just need to know the fact and the foundation. But you know, you need to know the experience of it. The experience of it. You know, the sad thing is that Christians, even Christians, condemn themselves, beat themselves up. I don't know what just planet, forgive me, we think we're what we're doing, torturing our minds, some torturing our bodies. Do you know, I went to a college where they actually flagellated, beat themselves, you know, because of some, you know, sin or something about their lives. You look, this has just got to stop. You've got to believe what it is, that there's now no condemnation and that you are not adding anything to the gospel by coming in your life and just cursing yourself and hating yourself and living in such a way. Look, the reality is I am not here to give you fiction. You are not good. Not one of us is good. We're all fallen short. We are like the Apostle Paul, wretched we are, and we are little worms, I'm sure, in God's sight, all precious to him. But the reality is, that's what we are, but in Christ, we're without the condemnation. And what you're doing is wrong, is wrong. Do you know what you're doing? You're trying to add to the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, as if he didn't suffer enough on that cross with those nails and those wounds and the blood which was shed and the horrors he saved and the separation. That wasn't enough that you now got to condemn yourself. Look, you've got to realise in your experience there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Doesn't make you a good Christian by saying that you're a bad Christian. You've just got to just say it as it is. Do you know what it means today? There's a hymn who puts it like this. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. And you know what else happens in life? When someone comes to point the finger at you and says, you're wrong. And what you've done is not right. We're good at that. And people do it. And you know what you can say? You're bang on. I am wrong. And what I said then was wrong. What I did then was wrong. And I ask God to forgive me, but I do know this. I do it because I know there's now no condemnation. And he will forgive. And he won't bring me under that sentence. You know that in your life. And in your own heart, you've got to live it. Can I say just one more thing? Do you know, we need to hear these words. And they're words of great praise. They really are. They are the words of the gospel. You won't hear them anywhere else. They can't be found. They can't be bought. They can't be educated. They can't be medicated. You can only know this from the word of Jesus Christ himself. And it is wonderful. It's the word of victory. It's the word of praise. And perhaps you don't know it because of this. You don't know that you're wretched. And you're still trying to come to God with your good works. And your good works will never bring you into Jesus Christ. And you need to know that place where he has won the victory. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus, my all, in him I find. Alive in him, my living head. And clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne. And claim the crown through Christ my own. Why? Because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus.